Welcome to the Bardcast. Welcome to the Bardcast. It's Shakespeare, you dick. We are your hosts. I am, I just can't give it up, but I'm laughing. Lisa Ann Goldsmith.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try. I'm Owen Thompson. That was an unscripted segue, y'all. But I'm strictly staying American.
Well, I mean, you guys, so we just got home about a day ago to the United States. Although I will tell you,
After
Owen, I had
some rather torturous travel home, I will say.
for you, ours was
For I'm
awesome and it was a nice empty flight and it was perfect. And I will tell you,
Fuck
though,
you.
Owen, which I have not told you, I had kind of a breakdown when Don and I were having breakfast because I really did not want to go home.
Well, I
Yeah,
all I have to
Owen.
say is I as I said before, I will reiterate, fuck you in the ear because you had an easy flight coming and going with empty planes. Ours were totally jammed both times, and on the way home, we sat. I mean, like there was a family, like the mom, a great big fat mom, and her two kids, and like
Oh, in
this
fat shaming.
toddler who would. I'm sorry. I had a rough flight. There was a horrible toddler that was screaming from the instant that we got on the flight, and that there was a little tiny infant next to her by the window, and the dad was sitting with us. But then the baby, the infant started screaming and wouldn't stop, literally for the entire flight.
Oh my
And then
God.
the toddler started to get rambunctious, and the guy put him in this in his seat, the one next to me, and the
Oh
kid is like
God.
bouncing around and kicking me. And I mean, seriously, it was like the fucking plane. And not to mention the fact that our flight was at noon, so we had to get out early, and there was a railway strike. So fuck you again, because you had an easy train to take to from
But we didn't
Paddington
take the
to
train.
Heathrow.
We took an Uber
Oh,
because
right. You
Uber
took a
was
40.
less than the
Yeah.
Heathrow Express.
Right. I don't even want to tell you how much my Uber was that I
You
was
did tell
forced
me.
to take. So anyway. I'm still a little cranky. And no, I didn't want to leave either because now I'll be a little more positive. It was really, guys, it was a fucking amazing, amazing trip. And we have to thank you so much because without your support, it wouldn't have been possible.
Absolutely. It was genius. But
So, and
so that being said, we did a
we have
bunch.
so much to tell you eventually, but this episode is focused on two shows.
That's right. And this actually, you won't be it, we will have been home for weeks before you hear this episode, actually.
Yeah,
But
maybe months.
that's right.
Maybe months, because that's how much content we have coming back from the UK. We saw so much and we did so much and we met so many people, and
Oh my
hopefully we're going to
God, we're
have
going to have
more than,
so many
you know,
exciting
we're
guests on for you guys.
absolutely, absolutely. And we got inspired for a lot of new episodes that are going to be coming up. But certainly you will be hearing from us about mostly about the individual plays that we saw. We saw six shows. Unfortunately, we did not get to see that immersive cocktail-fueled Romeo and Juliet that we just couldn't find.
That's right. But again, you will have heard about this.
We looked everywhere.
We
Well,
did.
true.
We did. But
We have a lot to talk about.
we did. But suffice it to say, what we had been doing was recording after we had seen things. But we didn't get a chance to do that because we saw The Tempest at the RSC in Stratford upon Avon and then went back to London and saw Othello at the Lyric Hammersmith with Frantic Assembly the next night. And then we left the next day. So,
Yeah, so and not just, I mean, I should also, speaking of torturous tr of travel, we ordinarily would record the day after we see these things. So we did that a lot, but we had to drive back from Stratford again because of the rail strike, and Lita had to drive us home and had to drive us through central London, which
he is
is
a rock star.
that is not an easy thing to do, my friends. And so our hats are off to her, and
Yes,
as
we
if they
are
weren't already.
unbelievably grateful.
But
So,
that
but
is,
that being said,
travel is why we didn't record right after these last two shows.
that's right. So forgive us. So we're gonna, but it wasn't that long ago, right now. So we're gonna harken
No, not at
back
all.
and talk about The Tempest at the RSC. Now, it was the first time that I was in Stratford upon Avon, and we did talk about that a little bit in the episode that dropped on February third, fourth, whatever that Friday was. But I had also never seen a live production of the RSC.
You've seen the RSC itself, I'm sure, obviously.
I've seen
In other,
recordings, yes, but I've never seen it
Oh,
live.
you've actually never seen the Royal Shakespeare Company on like any productions of theirs live?
I don't think unless that Mark Rylance, Richard and no, right, that wasn't the
No, that
RSC.
wasn't RSC.
No, so I've
That
only
was,
seen
I think, that
recordings.
was the that Twelfth
I think
Night
it was
that
the
he did
Globe.
originated at the Globe.
Yeah, that's what I
Yeah,
thought.
I don't know if I think the Richard III might have as well, but it was
I think it did
definitely
too.
not RSC.
Yeah. So this was my first thing to see. Now, let me start by saying it's the RSC. It's the Royal Shakespeare Company, you guys. The production values are off the fucking charts. The
Yeah.
theater is
Well, it's the
beautiful.
art. The art. This we're talking of course, the Royal Shakespeare Company in their home in Stratford-upon-Avon. So it's like, it's the highest end Shakespeare that you're ever going to see. It's like the Shakespeare Central, obviously, in many
Right.
ways.
Alex Kingston played Prospero. You might know her from what is that? Grey's Anatomy. She was the British doctor with the curly reddish hair on Grey's Anatomy. I don't think there's
Which
anybody else that's come.
I have to admit, I have never seen one episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Well, you know, I haven't, it's not like I watched it all the time, but I have seen an episode here and there. But I think she's the only person in this cast that I knew beforehand. Is that right? Yes. So,
me too.
yeah.
She's a and she's also a she's a long time member of the RSC.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I mean, I liked the way she played Prospero. It was very maternal. It was kind of an interesting production because when you read the notes, they kind of wanted to do a comment on global warming. And so the set was covered with garbage and the costumes were kind of bits and pieces of things. Yeah. I guess the bottom line is that for me, and I think you agree with me, Owen, it was good. It was good. Everything was good. Everything was professional. It just wasn't exciting.
Yeah, I think when we I got the feeling when we walked out of it that you guys had liked it more than I did. First of all, I want to say also it's definitely a treat to see anything at the Royal Shakespeare Company in Stratford. I mean, just in some ways for me it's a little like being at the Globe, Shakespeare's Globe, in that you're not, I mean, I've been to both places several times, and it isn't always the experience that you want it to be. The play isn't always as great as you want it to be, but the experience is
Agreed.
just super cool. I mean, I love being in Shakespeare's Globe so much just because it has the feel of being in Shakespeare's actual Globe Theater so much. I'm happy that the last thing that I saw there, Much Ado on my birthday, was actually quite good. But there's something magical about going to see the RSC in their big theater in Stratford-upon-Avon. And also, to your point, there's always going to be quality there in
Yes.
terms of design, in terms of, you're not likely to see bad actors there.
We
So
had
yeah, the
amazing
set was
seats. We had
absolute.
front row seats right on the side. I
That's
mean,
right. That's right. We had great seats pretty much everywhere we went,
we really have.
which was very fortunate. So yeah, I mean, I wasn't excited by it either. And I will say this too. If I had read the extensive program notes, although nothing from the director again, which I'm wondering is
What
now
is
a
that
thing in England,
about?
that you get all these notes without anything from the director, which I find irritating. But I would not have known that this show was that the point of the or one of the points of this production was to point up the climate crisis and to comment on, global warming, and that this was a deliberately green and sustainable, quote unquote, production. I just thought, oh, look at all that
Garbage.
plastic detritus
Yeah.
and 21st century like trappings. So I have to say, and I did read one review. This the Tempest not universally praised by the critics.
Although
A
she
lot of
was,
people
although
liked it,
Alex
but
Kingston was.
yeah, well, everybody, and there's certainly she was good, but in turn, like one critic said, he felt that the director had had this concept foisted upon her, rather than coming up with it herself,
Interesting.
because this critic felt that those elements felt rung in. And I don't disagree, because honestly, like I said, I didn't get that from just seeing the production. I read the notes and I was like, okay, I guess I see that. It
I think
didn't
that's,
add, it certainly
and I
didn't
think,
add anything.
and not only did it not add anything, but in a way, I think it took away from it because the whole point of The Tempest is magic, right? And it's hard to feel magical when you've got like water bottles and a flip flop and stuff like that on the stage in front of you.
Well, but I'll let me reference Wall-E, that did the Pixar movie, right?
Yeah,
Which is
that was
filled with
magical.
garbage, and that had great magic to it. I think you can. I think it can be done. There's no bad ideas. There's only bad execution.
Yeah.
But and that's why I kind of agree that like it may have been foisted on the director, because if it wasn't her deliberate choice, then she wasn't passionate about it, and therefore it didn't translate in the production. I also felt, frankly, and I should say, it had a distinctly 21st century feel. Everybody was in modern dress. Prospero's magic cape was like made out of like partially made out of a flotation device.
Yeah.
But for me, I again, you can set the Tempest wherever you want to. I don't care all that much, except that if you don't keep it in its time, or put it in like no time, the closer you get to the 21st century, for me, the less easy it is for me to buy the supernatural premise of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it feels really real and modern, then I'm like, I don't buy. Like, why don't people? Why the, is there no radar to find this island? You know what I mean? It's like, why aren't you using modern technology?
And even the ship, you know what I mean? Well, I mean.
I mean, if you were the king of Naples and it were the 21st century, wouldn't you like be packing heat? And wouldn't you have like guards that had serious armament? And
Or
just, I don't know, it just
somebody
it
certainly would have, right?
yeah it just yeah it just it makes you ask too many questions when you do that.
Yeah,
And
the other thing
it
was
didn't compensate.
it didn't. And as far as the like modern day stuff, like Caliban looked, he did not look like he was the son of a witch. He did not look like he was only half human. He looked completely human
No,
to me.
he looked
And
completely
I
human.
liked Ariel very much. Her name is Heled Gwynn. I liked her very much, but the only thing that kind of set her aside was that she had some blue paint on her face. And
Yeah, but
psychic ability.
I buy that, especially because she was actually
Certainly more than
my favorite
Caliban.
actor in the show. I mean, I thought the actor playing Caliban was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Not much was done with it. Well, we'll get to that side of the show. But I liked the Ariel, and I didn't mind. I mean, I didn't love the costumes in general, but I didn't mind hers particularly, because she's invisible to most people
Right.
in the show.
Right. But I
So,
liked her. I
I
mean, I
mean,
liked
I
what she
thought her
did
co
with it. I liked the, I
very
very
much.
much liked her relationship with Alex Kingston as Prospero. I thought that it was a very interesting take on it because it felt very much, certainly at the end. And this is why I think I did like it a little more than you. I was certainly affected by that ending more than you were. It felt very much to me like she like Prospero is saying goodbye to a daughter. You know?
Yeah, and I didn't li and I frankly didn't like that, and I think that it mil I think it weakens that relationship. Also, I will say, again, Again, addressing my fear about this production in having a woman play Prospero. Again, let me be clear, not having a woman like I think anybody can play Prospero. It doesn't matter to me, man, woman, non-binary, I don't care. But having Prospero be a woman, which they did, I will say I was glad that they didn't change the character name to Prospera
And they
or
didn't
refer
say
to her
Duchess
as.
of Milan,
They didn't say Duchess of Milan, and
but they
they
did say
also
mother.
but they did say mother, which they had to really,
Right.
and making Prospero a woman. And I agree with you the way that certainly Alex Kingston played this very well, and there was definitely a more maternal, necessarily a more maternal aspect to and a warmer aspect than you usually see in
Definitely.
Prospero,
Definitely.
but I also think that that. Is in an incorrect reading of the play. I mean, for one thing, it goes against what Shakespeare wrote. Replacing a father with a mother is literally replacing something that Shakespeare wrote. But also, Prospero is not a warm character at all. Prospero's kind of a dick. And he's a very he's a, he is kind of and he's very controlling and very territorial and you know, it like the way he acts as a dick, and I use the word deliberately, is a very masculine. And his relationship, like there was all this kind of touchy-feely, huggy stuff going on with Ariel, which is also weird since Ariel is made out of air, but okay. But Ariel is suffering under Prospero and is kind of Prospero's slave. And certainly a not terribly willing servant who desperately wants to be free. And Ariel certainly played, I mean, the woman playing Ariel played that beautifully. But if there's this maternal mother-daughter thing going on with Prospero and Ariel, I think it weakens Ariel's desire to be free. I really do. And I thought that was harmful to the play.
I will say that this particular Ariel, more so than others I've seen, I felt the desire, the intense desire to be free more than other actresses that I, or actors that I've seen.
I agree. I agree. Or at least, you know, I won't say that it was more than some that I've seen. I was also, you know, blessed to have a really great Ariel when I directed the show. But if Ariel does really, really want to be free, which I think is obvious and key to
Well,
the
it's in the
show,
play,
then
right?
do you see what I'm saying about if Ariel has a loving relationship with Prospero, that weakens that. It doesn't strengthen it, it
Yes
weakens
and no.
it.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that because being a woman and having had a mother-daughter relationship and always, you know, having wanted to be free from her, in a way, for me, it only intensified it because she is my mother
Yeah.
and I do love her, but I needed to be separated from her. I needed to have
But
my
the
own life. So it for
Respectfully, though, you're talking about your mother. Ariel is not Prospero's child. Ariel is Prospero's indentured servant.
that's fair.
There, it is not a it is not a filial relationship in any way. So adding a parental, whether it's even if Ariel feels that Prospero is his father. And yes, Ariel is male pronouns. Sorry. If there's a parental relationship that is in any way positive, it weakens what Shakespeare wrote, in my opinion. And it is not, I mean, it is not arguable that Ariel is in any sense Prospero's son or daughter.
No, not literally, but that's how they played it. Let's
That
move
is how
on
they
to
played
the.
it, and I thought it was a weakness. I thought the Miranda was good. I
I
liked the
thought the
Miranda
Miranda
and the
was very
Ferdinand.
good. I liked the Ferdinand great. And actually, I loved when Ferdinand, as one of his tasks, was cleaning up the island. So he was cleaning up the garbage. I thought that was great.
Yeah,
I thought
sure.
his, like, somebody in the front row had a cup and he, like, took the cup from the guy. I thought that was great. I did not like the Trinculo. Well, the Trinculo was cute for the first few minutes. But frankly, the Trinculo Stefano stuff wasn't funny. It wasn't
No,
funny.
this the
And they played Stefano as
Trinculo.
kind of a fat, drunken butler, which I mean he is, but he was bitter. He wasn't funny. I felt nothing funny about those scenes, and they should be hilarious.
We should say Jessica Rhodes was Miranda and Joseph Payne was Ferdinand, who we loved.
Yes, they were great.
Or liked. I loved it maybe a little strong. I thought they were fine. But yeah, the Stefano, and listen, fat drunken butler is a perfect choice
Yeah, but not
physically
fat,
and
drunken, bitter.
tonally.
And also, I know that it says in the script that Stefano beats Trinculo, but the way they did that with a really violent punch in the stomach, I felt was really extreme. I mean, I guess it spoke to who that particular Stefano was, but again, they're the clowns, and I wasn't fucking laughing. So I had a problem
Yeah,
with that.
I think it, we should say that Trinculo was female in this production as well. I think that that violence would have been easier to take if Trinculo had been male. But the problem is that they just weren't funny at all.
At all.
And I mean, there's such, for instance, just one. When Trinculo gets under the gabardine with Caliban, and Stefano mistakes them for a four-legged monster and with two assholes and two mouths, there's such an opportunity for really funny physical comedy there, and there was barely an attempt. It just like that aspect of the show was
Huge, I
really
thought it was
just
a huge disappointment.
flat. It was terrible. And the Caliban, again, the actors playing Stefano and Trinculo, other than not being funny, were clearly competent, and so was Caliban, but there was no attempt to other him. I mean, he was just a dude with a shaved head, and there was not even a tiny attempt was made to make him look at all like he was this had a questionable father and a supernatural mother.
Well, something else I wanted to talk about was the music. They had I think 4 or 5 pieces, and the music was lovely, but they had a piano on stage that they used twice and not for like a few notes at a time. And I was like, what is that about? Because it just blocked
Yeah,
part of that beautiful set.
it
I thought
just
that was
it
really
fortunately
dumb.
was off to it, it it was just off to the side in a way, but it made me think of the movie The Piano, which I hated. And there was a piano on a beach for some reason, and then nobody played it except Miranda and Ferdinand for about 2 seconds.
Yeah, it was really
So
dumb.
yeah, I don't know what that was. It's that's
Okay,
sort of a quibble though.
so that being said, the temp that being said, it was a fully realized production. The production values were great, all of that kind of stuff. But not high on our list. Obviously,
Well,
everybody was talented. Everybody was, good at their job. It was just unexciting.
I have to, when we came out of there, though, y'all were like, this is definitely number two. And I was like, yeah, but it's a distant number two. And the way I felt, the way that I felt, and it took me a little while to crystallize this, but I the way I felt does not change, which is, I feel like I went to like a three Michelin star restaurant of incredible renown and ordered like the most expensive things on the menu, and the kitchen prepared them impeccably, and with almost no exception, they were very well executed, but they just kind of left me going, eh. I mean, because there was very little I mean, there was some invention. Oh, I will say this in turn, one piece of invention that I did enjoy. I mean, the sets were amazing. I like the harpy. I like the way they did the
The harpy is
harpy,
great. I
and
loved
the
the
dogs
dogs
were
were
great. Where
amazing.
they made the dogs out of like big giant gallon sized water, plastic
Jugs.
water bottles,
Yeah, jugs, big water
and
jugs
they looked like huge like
with
pit
lights
bulls
in them.
made out of water jugs.
Yeah,
Yeah, with lights,
those
and
were
that
great.
was really cool.
I thought that was really
But
cool.
there was a lack of, I won't say a lack of energy, but there was a lack of brio. There was a lack of verve. You know, it was just,
Now I will say that
it was fine.
we saw the second performance after opening night, and anybody that's involved in theater knows that there is always a come down on the second performance after opening night. That being said, I don't think it accounted for how we feel about it and everything we saw. So,
Yeah, I'm aware, obviously, of second night letdown, but and certainly, we saw As You Like It closing night, which gave it extra juice, blah blah blah. But I guarantee you, we wouldn't feel different if we saw it again. It certainly wouldn't have made the no amount of energy would have made the clowns funny.
I agree. I agree. So, that being said, we went back to London the next day and we knew that we were seeing a production of Othello at the Lyric Hammersmith. But I have to say, Owen, I was not prepared for how blown away I was by this Othello.
Me neither. Me neither. This is a production that originated in 2008, and has been revived, I guess, three or four times, something like that.
Yeah,
And this is the latest iteration of it.
It's a company called Frantic Assembly. They've been doing devised theater for 25 years. They've developed into one of the UK's most successful and best loved theater companies. They have this incredible, like, creative approach to contemporary theater making, and they have,
Well, based on this, sure.
holy shit, one of the things they say on their website is that they quote, they have foregrounded the use of movement directors and choreographers in new dramatic works. And it was electrifying. So let's start by
I am
saying,
sorry that I'm sorry that they didn't have a full program, unfortunately. What is the name of the director? See, I don't even know. Isn't that terrible? Scott
Scott
something?
Graham, who is the artistic director of the company.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah. He's the
hats
artistic director and
fucking off.
co-founder. Yeah.
I mean, you
So
stole
this,
my word. Electrifying is the word.
yes, it really was. So it's set in like a bar up in northern
Yeah,
England.
it's in a pub.
It's in a pub. There's a
It's in a
pool
pub.
table. There's a booth. There's a pinball machine. They're dressed in
It
modern.
wasn't a pinball. It wasn't a pinball machine. It was a gam. It was like a gambling machine, a fruit
Oh,
machine,
got
they
it.
call
Right.
it. Yeah.
It was,
And that's it.
and that's it. But here's the thing about it. They,
And the set would occasionally open up to like the back alleys with like
that's right.
dumpsters and shit.
That's right. And lots of fog, which was
And
fun.
at what and it and at one point, a really gross looking ladies' room.
Yes, which was brilliant. I thought that was a brilliant place to set that Emilia Desdemona scene. But so, they were very true to the text, but they didn't use all of the text because a lot of the storytelling was done in these incredible, it was choreographed, but it wasn't choreography. It was like choreography slash movement slash gymnastics, all
Yep,
set to this
stylized.
intense, like almost trance music. It
Well, it
was
was like house music.
house music, yeah. It
Yeah,
was.
the house music is kind of pumping relentlessly from the time you come into the theater, and ordinarily that would drive me fucking insane because I hate house music, but I have to say in this case it worked like a charm.
It was amazing.
And yeah, to Lisa Ann's point, some of the t I mean the text was, I mean, there was plenty of text left. I mean, the thing was 2.5 hour, 2.5 almost.
220, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So, a fair amount was taken out. And I'll be honest, I missed some of it. I thought they could have left a little more of Iago's soliloquies in, but much more compens. Much, I mean, the sequences were breathtaking, and it was
Breathtaking.
stylized gymnastics, like violence, almost balletic stuff. There was a love scene between Othello and
On the big
Desdemona
table,
that
which
was,
was mind-blowing, just gorgeous.
just, I mean, and just it was filled with that verve and brio that was lacking in The Tempest.
Absolutely.
It was vital. It was, it stirred the blood,
Yeah,
like
and every
in a
actor
way.
was so like 300% committed to what they were saying with an intensity that didn't exist in The Tempest, I thought.
No, I completely agree. Well, I mean, The Tempest, again, very well done, but I kind of felt like it was just a little tired.
Yeah.
Like and the like the RSC, it's been around so long, it's had so much success, it's just sort of like, okay, we're the RSC, here it comes again, and
It's
this is
like they didn't
something
have to
new, this
try hard,
Othello.
you know? That's kind of what it felt
Right.
like to
The
me.
this Othello felt, even though it's not a new production, it dates from 2008, but it felt like it could have been made yesterday to me. It was very, 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 not having seen anything of Frantic Assembly, I was really, really knocked sideways. And
Although
I will say, I thought,
they're doing Metamorphosis next year, and I kind of want to go back. I really want to go back and see it because I
well,
love
I
that
would
movie.
honestly, I would walk across broken glass to see anything that this company
Yes.
does, because
Yes.
what they did was nothing short of like mind-blowing. It was really, really great.
And here's
And I want
something
to
else
give
about.
can you, because you have the cast list. Can you
I do.
tell us the actress who played Desdemona's name?
Yes. So her name is Chanel Waddock, and she was the best Desdemona I've ever seen. You know, a lot of times when people play Desdemona, they play her as sort of like, gentle and feminine and retiring. And this, she was a hard ass bitch. And when she and Othello were having those scenes where they're arguing, she was on him. You know, I
Oh
thought
yeah,
she
no,
was
she was
amazing.
ballsy.
The
She was.
Iago was.
She reminded me a little bit of Juno Temple.
Totally. Oh, and we should say that everybody who spoke in like a Scouse or a North Country or some kind of dialect. There was no like perfect RSC received pronunciation in this production
No, it was more East End, I
whatsoever.
felt, but it was very down and dirty. It's like, I mean, the concept is basically that it's gang wars,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
As opposed to, Venice and Cyprus and all of that. But it was cut so well, and everything was so clear, and I mean, it was just like a runaway train. The energy was so high. I mean, it was so high octane, the whole thing. Now, I will say, unfortunately, I won't go so far as to say it fell apart in the second half, because I was in all the way. But the actor who played Othello, who is, you have the cast list.
Michael Akinsulier, I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm so sorry if I'm butchering his name.
And I loved him.
Akinsulire. He was
I
amazing.
loved him.
He was great in the first act. He couldn't get to the grief,
Yeah,
as we found out in the
this
second
is
act.
the thing. I mean, he's an amazing physical presence.
Stunningly
Um,
beautiful
he,
to watch.
yeah,
Really.
and he and he he's just he's built like a basketball forward,
Yes. Oh my God,
and
yes.
he was extremely good in the first act, but he couldn't get where he needed to go in the second act. And to be fair, there's not a lot of actors who really can get all the way
Yeah,
there as
yeah.
Othello. That's like such a legendarily difficult role. But he could play the anger, but he
Yes.
couldn't play the grief. And
He
he
wasn't.
couldn't he that depth of sorrow and that depth of perplexity, and that by the time Othello gets to "It is the cause of my soul," he's got, I mean, where he's gone is just to this, I mean, to a place that is, I wouldn't have the remotest idea how to get there as an actor, and I've played Iago,
Yeah.
but it's an amazingly difficult role, and he did fall short of it. Now, again, I won't go so far as to call it a quibble. It's more than a quibble. It did keep this production for me from taking the leap from "Wow, that's amazing" to "Holy shit, that is on that's one of the that is at the top of the best Shakespeare's I've ever seen."
Yes.
If they could have gotten there, I would have said it was, but he just couldn't quite. So the ending, you know, when he kills Desdemona, spoiler alert,
if you haven't
just
read the play.
Wasn't as if, you know, I no spoilers for a 400-year-old play, but if he could have gone there, I would have been devastated, and I never cried, and I should cry. You know, I mean,
I
believe
little,
it was Emma Thompson.
You know, it's me, so certainly.
I think it was Emma Thompson who said to you and to Lita that a play should reduce you to rubble.
Yeah,
and it didn't. It didn't for me. It opened my eyes, and I loved it, and it was easily the second best thing that we saw in London
by far.
But it is a little bit of a shame that it came a little back down to earth in the second half.
So the Iago was played by an actor whose name is Joe Layton. I don't know if anybody watched.
Excellent.
He was excellent. And I thought he had a really interesting take at the very end. First of all, you guys, again, no spoilers, but, you know, he tries to, in the play, Iago tries to stab Amelia before she can out him at the very end. And the way they choreographed that was that he broke a bottle and slashed her across the throat, like stabbed and slashed her across the throat. And it was so intense. But I loved the way he played that at the very end, that he wasn't, because a lot of Iagos play that with anger, like, shut up, you know, you're going to out me, all that. But he was terrified that he was going to be found out. And I thought that I really liked that choice. And that totally worked for me. So he's on the Netflix show Young Wallander. He plays Detective Edmund on that show. And I haven't seen it, but I'm going to go look for it now.
I'll look for it now too. They moved some text around a little bit.
Yeah.
They moved Othello's death closer to the end of the show, which I didn't mind too much, and there's more text after Othello dies than is maybe strictly necessary anyway. Mm-hmm. So moving that around wasn't so bad. They had Othello kill himself. He went into that ladies room we told you about and came out with like the broken mirror in his chest, a piece of the broken mirror,
also really
stabbed
intense.
Himself with it. Anytime you can do that kind of crazy violence on stage, I'm all about it. That's what I missed in Titus, among other things.
Agreed. I will tell you that.
Speaking of anger, wait a minute. I want to go back for one second because we forgot to say one choice that Alex Kingston made as Prospero that I did not like at all was she played the famous last speech of, you know, Shakespeare's goodbye, some people would say. She played that angry.
Yeah. Didn't like that.
And I don't know why. It certainly didn't work.
Well, that has to be the
anyway
thing.
I'm sure
so
it is.
I wanted to tell you that Scott Graham on the Frantic Assembly website, talking about Othello, said, first of all, they had been talking about doing a show about racial tension and a broken Britain. And then he decided that Othello was the way of doing this. And he says, "I loved working with this text. Cutting it down and moving it around sometimes felt like sacrilege and like we were asking for trouble. But we felt that if we held our nerve, we could tell this story with passion and clarity. There was never a disregard or lack of respect for the language. We adored it, but we knew the show we wanted to make, and we felt we could do that while also being true to the heart of Othello." And I think he was successful. I think he was absolutely successful.
I couldn't agree more with every word of that. You know, and Scott Graham, if you're listening, at least from us, mission accomplished. And obviously people agree because this is a big success, as well it should be.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I will see. And let
me say also about the actor who played Othello. He's quite young. I mean, if he's 30, I'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
my God.
He's
They
an
were all
excellent,
pretty
excellent
young,
actor.
actually.
And I think that he, it's my hope that he can mature into this role and eventually get where he needed to go. But so I'm not saying I didn't love him as Othello. I did. I just wish that he could have gotten to the top of the mountain.
Yeah. So here's something else I wanted to tell you, Owen, that I started talking about. Frantic Assembly, the company that produced this, does this thing called Ignition. And it is Frantic Assembly's free nationwide talent development program for young people ages 16 to 24. With the support of their UK partners, Ignition seeks out underrepresented talent in unexpected places and nurtures it. They've been doing it for 14 years. The 2022 program alone engaged with over 700 young actors, young people. Their graduates have gone on to successful careers within all of the creative industries, working with Frantic Assembly and other national and international companies. And I think that's just fucking amazing. They selected
Yeah, that
24 people to join them in London the last week of October to devise two original performances that they performed to a public audience at the Brixton House. It's just incredible.
I will say this, and this I'm going to sound like such an asshole. If the show hadn't been that good, I wouldn't give a shit about that.
But
I
it
mean,
is
it's
that good.
nice.
And I love that they're finding young talent around the country, UK, not the US, and bringing them into their midst and like mentoring them. I just think that's amazing.
Yeah, that is great. I'm just like, I would, if like that Hamlet that we saw, I think they have similar programs. I noticed in their program, and I was like, okay, good for you, but your show was just kind of okay. So to me, I mean, it is great what they're doing. I am an asshole. I'm just saying, like, what I mostly care about is that they did a great show and that I was amazed by it.
It
And
was,
their outreach programs, good for them.
yeah. And I have to tell you guys that for whatever reason, the night before, I could not sleep and I had slept like 3 hours. And then we had driven back to London and I was exhausted, like really exhausted, when we walked into the Lyric Hammersmith. And by the time this show was over, I was
Oh
literally
yeah.
vibrating with excitement and energy. It was just amazing.
If that show doesn't wake you up, I honestly something is you're just dead
Yeah, and
because
Scott
it
Graham,
was.
if you happen to hear this, or if you're somebody that knows Scott Graham from Frantic Assembly, we would give our eye teeth to have you on the podcast.
I
Seriously.
and any listen, if anybody from Frantic Assembly or in any way connected to this production
Yes.
happens to hear this, please do get in touch. I'm not kidding, guys. If you have a chance to see some, if you have a chance to see this Othello, holy shit, go. And seriously, if you have a chance to see this company, go see them because
Run, do
shit,
not
they are
walk.
good. Yeah, I
Seriously, run,
mean,
do not walk. They have toured the
that
United
was
States, so
crazy.
So that was The
And
Tempest and Othello.
such an excellent way for us the la to see the our not well certainly our last Shakespeare in England, but our last Shakespeare of this particular trip in England. It was a very fitting way to go out.
Wow. Yeah. I love that the most exciting things we saw bookended the trip. I just love
Yeah,
it.
and I mean, really the only show that we saw that I thought was frankly not good was the Titus
Yeah,
Andronicus.
absolutely agree.
I found some merit in the Henry V and in the
Absolutely.
Hamlet, and I thought even though I felt that the Tempest was ultimately kind of a little flat, it was certainly, there was certainly much to like about it, and it was a quality production. It's just
And
that the as
they
you
took it very
the as you
seriously.
like it, as well, of course they do. It's I mean it's the RSC. I don't know. I feel like
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's the thing about the Titus that really bothered me is that I felt like through the whole thing that, and I guess it must have come from the director, Jude Christian, I felt like, look how clever we are. We're so clever. And that was just
Yeah, well, you know,
annoying to me.
Shakespeare's Globe takes a chance, right? When they sponsor the other companies to come in and do, because it's under their aegis, even though they're not the actual producers of it.
Right,
And I
right.
frankly didn't think they did themselves any favors with that show. Henry
No.
V, certainly a cut above.
Absolutely.
But you know, just the As You Like It that we saw was just so incredibly magical, and you know, so easily one of the best Shakespeare's I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
And then that Othello was just like something unexpected, and just something so different and wonderful. Not
It
on,
makes
not
you
quite on
go.
the same level as that As You Like It.
No, but the thing about the Othello is that it makes you go there. This is something new. It's a new way of looking at a Shakespeare, something that excites me and pulls me in and makes me want to see more of their work.
I really wish that our significant others had been with us at Othello, because I guarantee you they would, not only would they have loved it, but the As You Like It and the Othello, although both being very different approaches, had one thing in common, which is I defy anybody who doesn't like Shakespeare to see those productions,
Totally.
and I think they would be a wake-up call to people. This is what Shakespeare can and should be.
Yes, it was. Yes, absolutely. It was so clear. It was crystal clear. And
Well,
that's why I
and
think
fucking
I love what
entertaining.
Scott Graham said on his website, because he is 100% successful with his
Yeah,
production.
I agreed. Agreed.
So we'll have lots more stuff coming for you and good guests. Hopefully, maybe some of them will have been on by the time we play this one. But check out our website at www.thebardcasterdick.com. We learned how to use
Are there only
TikTok.
two W's in our address now?
No, I said www. I just kind of swallowed the last W.
Too easy.
We learned how to use TikTok, so become one of our followers on TikTok. There are if you want to support the kind of work that we're doing, there is a button for PayPal for a one-time donation, or you can become a subscriber through patreon.com and we will send you swag.
We will. So yeah, it would be great to support the pod that way. We love you. We love you for listening. Stay tuned, because lots and lots of London and Stratford content is going to be coming your way in the coming weeks, if it hasn't already by the time you hear this.
That's right. And it was pretty exciting to get to record in the same place at the same
Thank
time.
God.
To
Now,
say.
because we finally got our sign off correct.
We did. Well, I don't
And
know.
Rod. Rodney
Rodney
Hecking,
has
we should thank.
seen.
I want to, if Rodney is listening, I want to thank Rodney. First of all, his 2022 Shakespeare Awards came
Oh,
out,
that's right.
and although we did not win Best Podcast, we came in second this
We
year,
got honorable mention, which is very
and nobody
exciting.
else did, by the way. So
That's
thank
right.
you, Rodney, for that. We're very honored, and he gave us a little jab saying maybe we would have won if we could have gotten our shit together with saying the and our you know our tagline appropriately at the same time. So we did in England when we were in the same room, but now we're back in Pittsburgh and New York, so we're probably going to fuck it up again. But shall we try?
We shall try. And I will say that on the February 4th episode that we dropped, because we were in the same room at the same time, we got it.
That's what I mean.
Yes. But let's try it this way. Ready? And remember,
It's
it's
Shakespeare,
Shakespeare,
you
you
dick.
dick.
You see, we can't do
Better.
it when we're
No,
no. We
you
have to be
get
in
it,
the
but
same
it's not
room.
great. We need to.
The preceding podcast was a production of Country Matters Incorporated, copyright 2023, all rights reserved.